Welcome to This Week in Video Games, episode 126. My name is Tom Kershaw, and this is a podcast all about the world of video games. This week, I've been playing Diablo 4 and Street Fighter 6. And we also kicked off the Summer of Games as Summer Game Fest this week, and they gave us a heads up about the future of gaming. Well, today, I'm going to be rounding up all the latest news from Summer Games Fest, plus also reviews of two of the biggest games so far of 2023. So it is a busy show, so let's get to it. Welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're well and you're having a good week. I'm good this week, and Summer Games Fest has kicked off in style. Plus, also, we've had a little bit of Nicolas Cage as well. So Jeff Keighley was back this week with his Not Quite E3 showcase, and with one of the better Summer Game Fests we've had, including some really big game announcements, plus some pretty good moments as well. So games press from all over the world are getting together in LA right now to play some games, including Mortal Kombat 1, Alan Wake 2. That is all happening this weekend, so shout out to everybody currently at Summer Games Fest. Well, later on in the show, I'm going to be rounding out a couple of the choice presentations from this week, including Summer Games Fest and also Day of the Devs, as also there's some good games in there we should be keeping an eye on for the not-too-distant future. Well, we also have the Xbox Showcase that is happening today, so unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to include that in today's podcast. Plus, also, straight after, we've got the Starfield Showcase, so that is going to be quite a good bunch of announcements from Xbox. You know, it's been jam-packed this year in terms of gaming, so I'm very, very excited about what is going to be announced today. So I really hope that Xbox can come out swinging after a lackluster 2023 so far on the first party front, plus also the Redfall disaster. Well, before we get into it, it'd be great if you could leave a review over there on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the podcast, get some more eyes on it. I do have a link in the podcast description or the show notes. So if you like the show and you want to leave a review, I would really, really appreciate it. Plus, I will read out a review on a future episode of the podcast. Well, that is it for my waffly intro, so let's get into what I've been playing this week. Well, this week I've been playing Street Fighter 6 and Diablo 4, a couple of very highly anticipated sequels, which are likely to feature on many end-of-the-year lists in 2023. So, I'm going to get to my review of Diablo 4 first, then I'm going to talk about Street Fighter 6, and after that, we've got the charts, we've got games coming soon, and also, we got Summer Games Fest and Day of the Dead Roundup as well. But first of all, without further ado, let's dive into my thoughts on Diablo 4. Well, Diablo 4 is out right now and is rising to the top of the charts for games released in 2023. It's been an absolute treat so far this year, and Diablo 4 looks to continue a trend of excellent releases. This one is an action ARPG which sticks to the tried and tested Diablo formula, but this time it's much darker, it's gorier, there's a focus on build crafting and also class mastery like never before. Well, Diablo 4 is the latest in the series, following on from a rather bright and colourful Diablo 3, and also the recent mobile entry Diablo Immortal. Diablo 4 is going back to its demonic roots, focusing on a darker theme than ever before. This one is a dungeon crawler at its core, and as you play, you level up and gather loot to boost your armor and your weapons in an effort to take on harder and harder enemies until eventually you get to the endgame. The core gameplay loop is running through dungeons, killing enemies, boosting your own stats, optimising your build, which leads to disposing of even more enemies in fun ways. Well, Diablo 4 doesn't revolutionise the genre, but it does do all of the component parts very, very well. You can get very specific with the skill trees, which brings Diablo 4 much more in line with other ARPGs today. While Diablo 4 is great, one criticism could be thrown at Blizzard in that they are playing it very safe. You know, Path of Exile and Lost Ark in recent years have shown some really good innovation, especially in the visceral combat shown in Lost Ark. Whereas Diablo 4, they are remixing the greatest hits from the series in the latest entry, so what it lacks in innovation is definitely made up for in polish. Well, the story has been vastly improved from previous Diablo games. The broad objective is to defeat Lilith, daughter of one of the prime evils of Hell. So the story itself, the voice acting, the cutscenes and the gameplay all blend together really, really well to culminate in one of the best story experiences that we've seen from Blizzard. Yeah, while the story is important for hooking players in, it's the gameplay, the combat, the build crafting, hunting for loot, the drops, and the core gameplay loop that's even more important in a game like this. All five classes are distinct to play and they are fun, although some are more fun than others earlier on in the game. The rogue, for example, moves quickly and fires arrows from a distance. The sorcerer creates elemental attacks with fire, ice, electricity, and arc magic. The necromancer raises the dead from the ground, and the barbarian smashes skulls with brute strength. Finally, you've got the druid, who can morph into animals, plus use earth magic as well, so all classes have their pros and cons, but they are definitely all tons of fun. Class mechanics unlock at various points of the campaign for each class, so the sorcerer gets their enchantment system in Act 1 that allows you to enchant your spells to augment how they work. This means you can mix and match spells to suit your playstyle, and that feels like much deeper customization than we've ever felt before, meaning no two sorcerers are going to feel the same depending on the skill tree options. Each class has their own unique skills unveiled to them throughout the campaign, so the druid has access to more animals, the necromancer can raise even more dead, and so on and so forth. So each character feels unique, which is further customized through their unique systems. Loot is another way to improve your build in Diablo 4, so this includes weapons and armor, in particular armor that has special abilities. For example, you might receive some armor with some healing over time skills, meaning you can switch up your playstyle from range to close quarters. Weapons too can hold additional skills like randomly casting an additional spell when you cast an initial one, meaning the screen turns into explosions all over the place. There's moments in the game where Diablo 4 starts to click. It's either a skill or an unlock or a build, but when that moment comes, it all falls into place. Build crafting is one of the reasons why Diablo 4 will keep you coming back for more each time. It's cheap to respec, so if you don't like your initial build, then you can simply change it. Much of my time so far has been spent with the sorcerer, meaning I've got fire, ice, electricity and arc combinations, so I can spec into a single element, which works very well, and you can become very, very powerful in that single element. Or you can use combinations, so ice and lightning is particularly fun. The skill tree allows for deep customization, and given it's fairly simple to respec, going out there and testing new builds is one of the best elements of Diablo 4. So one noticeable feature of the final product is that it feels more streamlined compared to the betas Blizzard put out earlier on the year, which is good, given that indicates they are listening to feedback and acting on it quickly. The pace of Diablo 4 is noticeable and there's much less backtracking as we previously encountered, which keeps you moving forward quickly. So it does take the game a little while to click into gear with regular enemies, almost melting in the first few hours, not presenting much of a challenge at all. Although, I guess they are only there to get you used to the mechanics and act as a tutorial in those first few hours. Soon, you're going to encounter shamans who can summon other enemies. And this is really the point where things start to ramp up nicely, so bosses also start off fairly weak, but the difficulty ramps up as you progress, as does the complexity in the battles. I would have liked to see more variation in the bosses though, as they do all tend to blend into one another with rare standout moments. So while you can play Diablo 4 solo, it's also good to run through dungeons with friends or online LFG groups, as teaming up does make the game really, really satisfying. The online service here seems to work really well, and the game launched with a few minor issues, but nothing major, which is a breath of fresh air in this day and age for huge games like this. You can team up with other players to take down world bosses together, run around towns, explore, plus also you've got PvP too. You can also set up your own clan or join another one, plus getting into the endgame activities as a group is the best way to experience that content. We're talking of the endgame, Blizzard has made sure there's a robust endgame from day one, so get through the main campaign and really, this is only the start of the game. Diablo 4 is now a live service game, it's going to have seasons and a battle pass, so getting through that initial story is really only the prelude to the ongoing game. This is a game that can be played for thousands of hours, and Blizzard have set things up for a great day one endgame experience. As well as running around with friends, you can encounter new online players out there in the wild. For example, if you take down a world boss together, there is a chance to friend up and play again another day. Well, your first main objective post-campaign is to get to level 50, and this is where you're going to unlock your first capstone dungeon, plus also you can unlock a third world tier and new activities, and also a higher tier of loot drops as well. You know, one of these is called a Helltide event. You've got blood rain and enemies swarming from everywhere. PvP is another decent endgame activity. So there's two PvP zones in Sanctuary where you play against one another to kill NPCs, collect their materials and fend off other players. Then the objective is to get out with the most resources. Similar to an extraction mode, but with the Diablo look and feel, it is a whole lot of fun. Very, very nerve-jangling and satisfying when you get out. And it is bound to keep you coming back time after time. Overall, Diablo 4 is a fantastic follow-up to Diablo 3, and it's modernised the franchise in many positive ways. While this isn't going to revolutionise the ARPG genre, it certainly breathes new life into Diablo, and it is a worthy successor. The story is good fun, but that is only the beginning, as you get into the endgame where the real fun begins. Well, the game was developed by Blizzard, it was published by Blizzard as well. It's available on PC, PlayStation, and also Xbox 2, and the release date was the 6th of June, 2023. Well, that is it for the moment for Diablo 4. Really, really good one. And I reckon that one is going to be a game in many Game of the Year lists at the end of 2023. Really, really good. Definitely recommend if you are an experienced Diablo player, you should go out there and get it. And even if you are new to the series as well, definitely recommend this one. It is really, really good stuff. Well, that is it for now for Diablo 4, but next up, let's check out my review of Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter 6 has arrived with much fanfare in what appears to be the polar opposite of the launch of Street Fighter 5. We've got a large roster of characters with a good mix of old and new, an online battle hub. We've got training modes, plus also the new World Tour mode. Now, fighting fans have been excited for a long time about this one, and it's finally here. So today, I'm going to dive into my review of Street Fighter 6. Well, I've been playing Street Fighter since the arcades in the 90s, but my memories certainly go to the early Super Nintendo era, when Street Fighter 2 was bundled with consoles. We used to have tournaments in a local town where us kids would gather at the weekends. I used to play as Chun Li back then and distinctly remember taking out a Ryu player, much to their shock at the time. Fast forward to university, I definitely bonded with a now good friend of mine, Robbie Williams, over a game of Street Fighter 2. There is nothing like local co-op when making new friends, or also catching up after a few years apart. Well, gameplay has evolved in Street Fighters over the years, and Street Fighter 6 introduces the drive system. This includes a new drive meter that can be powered up through matches, so drive, rush, drive, parry, drive reversals, and also drive impact as well. Overdrives are similar to EX special moves and cost 2 bars. Drive rush allows you to close the gap on your opponent very quickly at the cost of a single bar. Drive reversals allow you to throw an opponent off guard while blocking at the cost of 2 bars, and then you've got drive impacts. The drive system adds a lot of versatility into Street Fighter. You don't have to build up the meter either. You know, both players start the match with a full bar, so you can run in there and attack aggressively right off the bat, or you can save it for later on in the match. It adds another layer of tactics onto an already rich fighting experience. So running out of drive meter also is handled very well in the game. You know, your opponent's attacks are stronger, harder to block, and their drive impacts are lethal. Well, talking about drive impacts, they are a key part of Street Fighter 6, and there's potential here to be very divisive. So while performing a drive impact move, you know, you've got a shield and that absorbs up to 2 hits from your opponents, making drive impact attacks quite hard to stop. You can take out your opponent mid-move, plus also they'll drain their drive meter by half a bar if they manage to time it right and get a block in. Plus, if you perform a drive impact when your opponent is in a burnout state, you will absolutely crush them into a broken heap on the floor. Drive impacts are great as they are fast enough to take opponents by surprise, but if you've got your wits about you, there's still time to get that block in and plus they are strong enough to turn the tables in a match. Street Fighter VI has 18 characters from the start, with 12 returning characters and 6 brand new characters. So classic fighters have had their moves tweaked and mostly improved. For example, Ken's command run allows him to charge up special moves. Cammy can also charge up attacks. Plus also DJ has loads of new fakeouts that make him even more difficult to play against. The new characters are fantastic in addition to the roster, with some characters instantly going into my main rotation. Kimberly does a really good job of standing out from the rest. She's fast, she's got tricky teleports, plus can throw and drive you into the ground at a moment's notice. Jamie, who may be familiar with from the betas, he's a drunken master who takes shots between his hard-hitting melee attacks. Then you've got characters in all archetypes here, with grapplers like Zangief and Manon, rushdown fighters like Ken, Jamie and Cammy, plus zone players like Guile, Darcin and JP. The roster is full, it's balanced and has a great mix of new and classic fighters to keep you entertained. So World Tour is the new single-player addition to Street Fighter VI, and it's a fully-fledged RPG where you can literally fight anyone in the streets. While it's grand in ambition, it's poor in execution, with a lackluster story that doesn't really hold the attention. The scale is impressive, you know, it is a fully-fledged RPG. You can create a character, meet other fighters from the main roster in all kinds of mad scenarios, which takes you all over the globe on various adventures. Now you can see and you can feel the Yakuza influence here, but the story is pretty weak, having you go on a globetrotting adventure where you have to suspend any notion of a coherent story. And I think it's a good first draft and a good first effort, but it's certainly better than Street Fighter V, but it does feel like the weakest part of Street Fighter VI for me. Well, the Battle Hub is a social space inside of Street Fighter VI, where you can challenge other players in ranked and unranked matches. While you're waiting, you can even check out some classic Capcom arcades like Final Fight and Street Fighter II. Online lobbies have been implemented with a range of quality over the years, but Street Fighter VI is one of the best that I've ever seen. Players can create an avatar and hang out in that social space, and the creations can get a little bit crazy, which make it infinitely more interesting than selecting a cookie-cutter character. Together with ranked and unranked matches, players can also compete in extreme challenges, where you can customize your character with items from the store, plus take on other avatars in battle. You know, it's all there if you want to engage with it. If not, it's no problem. You can simply queue for matches. You know, it feels like Capcom have really learned their lesson from Street Fighter V. Netcode here is high quality, so training modes are fully featured, allowing for the beginner all the way up to pro training. Character guides are there if you need tutorials, and the character roster is a good mix of classic and new. Capcom have nailed the one-on-one fighting in Street Fighter VI, and there's loads of supporting modes if you want to veer off into another direction. You know, while World Tour was disappointing for me personally, it's not really what I'd come to Street Fighter IV, but it is there, and Capcom have given it a shot. I imagine in a couple of iterations it'll feel even closer to a fully-fledged Yakuza game, although I don't think we are quite there just yet. You know, one of the pieces of feedback I hear about Street Fighter is that it can be overwhelming for new players. Capcom are doing their very best here to make it feel welcoming to all. You know, we've got the nostalgia characters in there for players who've been playing since Street Fighter 2. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of new characters and features to ease players into the franchise. The modern control system is comparable to Smash Brothers' control scheme, where a simple button press can result in a special move. The moveset that is ingrained into many players' mind with dragon punches, fireballs and spinning bird kicks may seem natural to some players, but the complex button combinations can put off new players, especially when the other fighting games have made efforts to remove the layers of complexity for their players. You know, Street Fighter VI has done a good job in this regard, and while I will always prefer classic controls, I can appreciate the addition of modern controls in the game. Overall, Capcom have played a blinder with Street Fighter VI. The character roster has something for everybody, and the addition of modern controls opens up the game to new audiences. The drive system is a great addition to the gameplay, and if you want a full-on RPG single-player story mode, then the World Tour is there for you. Personally, I prefer to hang out in the online battle mode and the training modes. This is where I get my kicks from Street Fighter, and Street Fighter VI looks to have corrected many of the missteps of Street Fighter V. And it's even gone further to create not only the best fighting game of 2023, but one of the best games overall. You should definitely check it out. Well, the game was developed by Capcom. It was published by Capcom. It was released on the Xbox Series, also on the Xbox One. So it's released on the Xbox Series S and X, also Xbox One, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and also the PC 2. And originally, the game released on the 2nd of June, 2023. Well, that is it for the moment for Street Fighter 6. Really, really enjoying this one and definitely recommend trying it out. But that is it for now for Street Fighter 6. Next up, let's have a look at the all-platform charts. Well, number 10 this week, we got Nintendo Switch Sports. That is up 4 places from last week's number 14. And number 9, it's Grand Theft Auto 5. That is down 1 place from last week's number 8. At number 8, we got Animal Crossing New Horizons, up 1 place from last week's number 9. And at number 7 is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, holding steady at number 7. At number 6, it's Star Wars Jedi Survivor. That is down 1 place from last week's number 5. And at number 5, it's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That is down 1 place from last week's number 4. At number 4, it's Hogwarts Legacy. That is holding in there in the top 10. That is down 1 place from last week's number 3. And at number 3, down from last week's number 2, is FIFA 23. So new in at number 2 is Street Fighter 6. And then still in at number 1 is The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not really surprised that Tears of the Kingdom is still in there at number 1. I would imagine it's going to be in the top 10 for quite some time. That is an absolutely fantastic game. Well, that is it for the all-platform charts, but next up, let's check out the Summer Game Fest 2023 Roundup. Well, Jeff Keighley and team were back with Summer Game Fest this week, and it was a really, really good showcase. So let's have a look at all of the announcements. First of all, it began with a reveal for a new Prince of Persia game. This one is called The Lost Crown, coming from Ubisoft, and that's going to be released on the 18th of January, 2024. I heard after the show this one is supported by the development team behind Rayman Legends, and it also looks like a Metroidvania as well. Really, really excited for this one. Can't wait to get my hands on a new Prince of Persia. Next up, we had an extended look at Mortal Kombat 1 that is developed by NetherRealm, and that's going to be released on the 19th of September. Also, Ed Boon came out and described the game, gave us a nice little tutorial and a walkthrough. Really, really nice to see some developers again out there on stage talking to a live audience. We also got some look at some gameplay from Path of Exile 2. That is the sequel to Grinding Gear's free-to-play action role-playing game. Now, if you're a Path of Exile fan, then the 18th of July is one for your diary, because then more news is going to be arriving then. Next up, we had a look at a collaboration between Street Fighter 6 and Exo Primal. We had a Mecha Ryu fighting a dinosaur, and a Mecha Guile is a really bizarre crossover, and that is arriving in the autumn. It did also say Capcom crossover number 1, so it looks like there's going to be a whole load more collaborations later on. Nicolas Cage then appeared on stage, and he talked about his appearance in Dead by Daylight, so he's going to be arriving in the game on the 25th of July, but if you're playing on PC, you can download the test build from the 5th of July. Next up, we had the world premiere of a trailer for Netflix's third season of The Witcher, and that is going to be released on the 29th of June. That was immediately followed by a trailer for Witchfire, and that enters early access on the 20th of September. Then we had some first-person shooter VR action with Crossfire Sierra Squad. That is coming to PlayStation VR 2 in August 2023. And then we had Remnant 2. That one is coming for PlayStation 5, PC, and Xbox Series S and X on the 25th of July. So if you haven't played Remnant from the Ashes, really, really good stuff. Kind of a mixture of shooter and Souls action. So Remnant 2 looks really, really good. After that, we had an announcement about Sonic Superstars. That is a brand new game from Sega, which is arriving in the autumn. Next up, we got some good news for Honkai Star Rail fans. Yeah, we had confirmation that the game is going to arrive on the PlayStation 5 during Q4. As the year draws to a close. That was followed by Lies of P, so that one is a steampunk-styled retelling of Pinocchio. That is coming on the 19th of September. Also, a demo is available right now on PlayStation, Xbox, and also PC. So if you are missing out on some decent Souls action, then Lies of P is available to play in a demo right now. After that, we had a reveal of Sandland. This one's a game created with the help of Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball and also developed by Bandai Namco. That one is coming out for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X and PC, although the release date has not been announced just yet. Then we got a teaser for the Annapurna Interactive Showcase. That is coming on the 29th of June 2023, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, or 12 p.m. Pacific, and that is pretty much guaranteed to be a fantastic showcase. Then we had a look at Throne and Liberty. So this is an upcoming title from NCSoft and Amazon Games. This one is an MMO and could be quite interesting. After that, we had a trailer for Warhaven. That's a new title from Nexon, arriving in the autumn 2023. So if you want to give that one a try, it's going to be part of the Steam's Next Fest between the 19th and the 26th of June. Then we had a short trailer for Party Animals. That kind of looks like Fall Guys. And that one is going to be released on the 20th September. That is going to be really good. Next up, Crash Bandicoot Team Rumble. That is a 4v4 multiplayer game coming out on the 20th of June. So not very far away at all. Next up, Remedy boss Sam Lake took to the stage to introduce some raw, unedited gameplay for Alan Wake 2. That is going to be released on the 17th of October. That is looking very, very similar to a Resident Evil game. It looks very horror-inspired. I really can't wait for the next game behind the studio that created Control. This was followed by a quick look at the upcoming Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2 game. That one looks really, really good, and it's arriving in the winter. Then we got a look at Yes, Your Grace Snowfall, coming from Brave at Night. That is arriving in 2024. And then another world-first announcement came next with John Carpenter's Toxic Commando from Saber, Focus Entertainment, and also the director of The Thing, John Carpenter. So this one looked like a really interesting game. It looks like John Carpenter is spending his retirement working on video games, so really, really interesting to see what John Carpenter can come up with. Baldur's Gate 3 was up next with the reveal of Lord Enver Gortash, voiced by Jason Isaacs. Big fan of Jason Isaacs, so hello. So big fan of Jason Isaacs, and this game is going to be released on the 31st of August. Then we got a look at Marvel's Spider-Man 2, bringing to light some of the details about the game, including Venom not inhabiting Eddie Brock. I have heard a rumour that it's going to be Harry, so really interesting stuff. Also got a look at some of the collector's edition rewards as well. And finally, we got a release date. It is coming out on the 20th of October, 2023. So that was followed by a trailer for Palworld, which answers the question, what if Pokemon had guns? Yes, this game is Pokemon with guns. Looks very, very strange. And Palworld is going to be entering early access in January 2024. Next up, we had a look at the Land of the Morning Light for Black Desert. That is going to be arriving on the 14th of June. That one is an expansion. After that, a trip to Middle-earth to see the dwarves who make their homes deep beneath the Misty Mountains. The Lord of the Rings returned to Moria. It's going to be released in autumn 2023. Basically, that is a mining game set below the Misty Mountains. It looks like we're going to be seeing Gimli once again in a Lord of the Rings story. Continuing the fantasy theme, Sephiroth was answering his phone in a look at Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis. So pre-registration for this iOS and Android game is now available. There's going to be a closed beta test for Android running between the 8th and the 28th of June. So sign up for that right now. And after teasing another Final Fantasy trailer, we actually got a look at Banishers, Ghost of New Eden. That's going to be released towards the end of 2023. Then we got a look at Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. And that leaked actually earlier before the showcase. So if you are a Like a Dragon fan, put the 9th of November in your calendar. Then we went way beneath the waves in Under the Waves, arriving on August the 29th, 2023. It looks beautiful, but also terrifying for those of us who have a phobia of things beneath the water. The tone then changed quite dramatically with a trailer for Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Warzone Season 4. That arrives on the 14th of June. And also, we've got a new Vondel map. So at the opposite end of the gaming world, we've got a look at Fae Farm from Phoenix Labs. That's coming to PC and Nintendo Switch on the 8th of September. We've got another Marvel update. Came next with Marvel Snap taken to the stage to announce a new game mode, Conquest, and also a funny little trailer as well. The fantasy vibes then returned with King Arthur Legends Rise. That's going to be released on PC and also mobile, and pre-registration is open now if you want to give it a go. And then we got a trailer for the free-to-play Wayfinder arriving on PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and that is coming out later in the year. Paradox Interactive then showed off Stellaris Nexus, and that was followed by a look back at Space Trash Scavenger, another title coming from Paradox. The Borg then made a short appearance for a trailer of Star Trek Infinite, and then we had a trailer for the Twisted Metal TV series. To be honest, looks absolutely terrible, and that is coming on the 27th of July via Peacock. So back to video games next, and we had a look at Lisfanga, the Time Shift Warrior, arriving at an unannounced date in 2023. So this one kind of looked like Hades, as you run through different runs, and then you team up with your shadow from past runs, so it looks like it's playing with time in a really nice mechanic for the game. So this one is definitely one to look out for. Immortals of Avium from Ascendant Studios and EA was up next, and that game was a first-person fantasy game being released on the 20th of July. And then we had a cinematic trailer for Fortnite Chapter 4 Season 3, also known as Wilds, and that brings rideable dinosaurs and the return of a familiar face, and that is already out now. And finally, the grand finale, a world premiere trailer for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Yeah, that is going to be released in early 2024, and it's going to be released on two discs. Well, loads of stuff to digest there from Summer Games Fest, so big announcements, big games, and a really, really exciting way to kick off the summer. So thank you to Jeff Keighley and all the team behind Summer Games Fest. It was a really, really good show. Well, after Summer Games Fest, we had the Day of the Devs. So let's go back to that now and check out the Day of the Devs 2023. Well, first of all, in Day of the Devs, we got to see Beastie Ball. This one is a new RPG from Wishes Unlimited, the studio behind the acclaimed Wonder Song and Chicory. So this time around, the team is turning its attention to what looks something like Pokemon, with its combat replaced by a strategic turn-based take on volleyball. It sees players in the role of a coach touring the world and signing up beasties they encounter to join their team to take on rivals in bouts of Beastie Ball. Now, loads of beasties are promised, and they can form friendships that will create unique combos for use in matches. This one might still be a little way off though. A Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign launches soon. Next up we had Hyper Light Breaker. So this one I'm really, really looking forward to. So we've already seen a little bit of Hyper Light Breaker. You know, developers Heart Machine fully 3D roguelite follow-up to the acclaimed Hyper Light Drifter. But the Day of the Devs saw it return with a smidgen more gameplay to share. Now for those unfamiliar, Hyper Light Breaker sees players exploring a vast, ever-changing 3D landscape known as the Overgrowth, using a mix of acrobatic abilities, wall dashing, hoverboarding, gliding, and also third-person combat to take out monsters and ultimately overthrow the Abyss King. And it's coming to early access later this year. Next up, we had Simpler Times. So this one is from Transylvanian developer Stoneskip. It's a gentle puzzle adventure that sheds light into the beauty of the ordinary, and it follows the protagonist Tania on a heartwarming journey through her memories as she prepares to leave her childhood home. The resulting experience combines visual storytelling and mindful interactions as players delve into Tania's past, and each new puzzle's all themed around the items of sentimental value, bringing her closer to adulthood and simpler times is coming to PC soon. Next up we had Viewfinder. This one is by Sad Owl Studios. Another one already generated a fair bit of hype. One of those puzzlers built around a genuinely mind-bending premise, with players able to snap photos that can be overlaid on the environment around them, whereupon whatever in the image becomes navigable, a three-dimensional part of the world, and Viewfinder is currently set to launch for PlayStation 5 on the 18th of July. A demo is also available right now on the platform, and it's coming to PC sometime in 2023. Next up we had Haunty from developer Moonloop. It's a supernatural adventure coming to PC and consoles in 2024. Cast as a ghost in a wonderfully striking version of the afterlife, players can haunt a huge variety of objects in order to gain access to their unique abilities, and discovering what can and can't be haunted through exploration and experimentation is said to be a major part of the game. Progress requires players to collect stars that help other ghosts gain access to the pieces of the past, and there's a twin-stick shooter element too, but Moonloop says this is less about high-intensity action and more about finding ways to use the mechanic to solve challenges. Well, next up we had Kart Life, so Richard Hoffmeyer's acclaimed slice-of-life retail sim Kart Life. It's making a return a decade after the original release and subsequent removal from sale, courtesy of Ad Hoc Studios. This new version remains faithful to the original. Players will still be able to experience the lives of three different street vendors, each from very different backgrounds, working with limited resources to juggle their needs with the needs of their carts. But this lovingly restored release promises new art, story content, mechanics, and updated controls, and it is out on PC and consoles later in the year. Next up, we had Hellskate. So this one is a surreal skateboarding roguelike from developer Phantom Coast. Cast players as Anton Falcom, a demonic skater eager to navigate the afterlife of Verthium in a quest to find its fabled beach. Unfortunately, Verthium gods and monsters are less keen on the idea, and Anton must deploy his skateboarding skills, combining grinds, tricks and combos with more direct hack and slash style combat to achieve the dream. Given the roguelike nature of Hellscape, death is inevitable, but players will unlock permanent upgrades, tattoos associated with abilities, skateboards which act as weapons and help them progress further next time around, and Hellskate launches into PC Early Access later this year. Next up, we had Henry Halfhead. So this is a weirdly adorable sandbox adventure from Lulu Entertainment. You know, it gives players the control of titular Henry, who's able to transform into absolutely any object they can reach. The goal is to guide Henry through a series of everyday tasks, turning off their alarm, making their bed, running a bath, and so on, by possessing the objects around them and making use of their innate skills. It all looks delightfully silly, and there's a co-op mode there for those looking to add absurdity. You know, platform and release date details have yet to be shared. Hopefully we're going to see more of that coming very, very soon. Next up, we have Cocoon. This one is a mind-bending adventure game from Geometric Interactive and Jeppe Carlson, known for solo projects like 114, his previous work as a gameplay designer on Playdead's Inside and Limbo. In Cocoon, players explore multiple strange worlds, which crucially each exist inside an orb. At any time, players can exit an orb and visit the world and its inhabitants, and those worlds in turn exist in their own orbs and so on. Orbs can be moved around and used to solve puzzles, but players will also need to utilize the hierarchical nature of orbs within orbs to progress as well, leaping in and out of worlds to dodge hazards. You know, it's kind of hard to get a handle on all of this and how it's going to be played out, you know, based on the brief day of the dev showing, but Cocoon certainly looks intriguing. It's coming to Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch later on in the year. Well, next up we had Ette, and this one is from developer Impossible. You know, it looks lovely. Taking players on a relaxing artistic exploration adventure one hot summer's day through the city of Montreal. As they roam through its streets at their own pace, they can bring colours to the world, filling items with paint to gain experience, which in turn means even bigger areas can be filled. There's locals to meet, each with their own stories to tell, and some might even want commissioned artwork. In these instances, players can ride their bikes back to their apartment where blank canvases await, which is where the real creativity begins. So any objects found while exploring, they are unlocked, ready to be plumped onto the canvas, and they can be arranged and recolored however the players choose. And this jaunt through a lovely crafted whimsical summer world is due for release early next year. So finally then, we had Salt Sea Chronicle. This one is a story-driven adventure set across a flooded world. Rather than focusing on a single protagonist, Salt Sea Chronicles cast players as the whole ship's ragtag crew, who at the start of the game discover their Captain Mayer has gone missing. As the adventure unfolds from chapter to chapter, players will have the freedom to decide where they go on the map, who they crew with, and what they say to the people that they meet. Each community has its own quirk. You might uncover a town living symbiotically with its cats, for instance, and the stories you uncover all pay homage to classic genre storytelling. There's even a trick-taking card game, spoils for those moments where players fancy a little bit of a break on their journey, and Salt Sea Chronicles should be out sometime this year on PlayStation, Switch, and also PC. Well, that is pretty much it for Day of the Devs and also Summer Game Fest, so loads of really, really good stuff to look forward to. Well, that is it for the Summer Games Fest and the Day of the Devs so far, but next up, let's have a look at the games coming soon. Okay, on the 13th of June, we've got Dordoin. That is coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and also Switch and PC. Then on the 15th of June, we've got a few games. We've got Crime Boss, Rock A City. PS5, Xbox Series S and X. Then we've got Jack Jian, that is coming to Nintendo Switch, also on the 15th. Then we've got Layers of Fear 2023, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and also PC. Then on the 16th, we've got a few more games, so F1 2023, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One, and also PC as well. And then we've got Park Beyond, coming to PS5, Xbox Series S and X, and also PC. Next up, we got the 20th of June, so Aliens Dark Descent, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Then we've got Crash Team Rumble, that is coming to PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, and Xbox One. We've got Dr. Fetus Mean Meat Machine, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. That is coming on the 22nd of June, also on the 22nd, Final Fantasy 16, that is coming out on the PlayStation 5. We've also got Harmony, The Fall of Reverie, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, also on the 22nd. Then finally, on the 23rd, we got Sonic Origins Plus, coming to PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. Well, that is going to be it for this week's episode. And if you want to get involved in the show, get in contact through patreon.com/ This Week in Video Games or on Twitter at TWIVGPodcast. You know, thank you so much for watching or for listening. And for more podcast content like this, you can like and subscribe on YouTube or in your favourite podcast app. Well, thanks again, and I'll see you soon.